It's amazing how God uses broken vessels to proclaim His glory and His might. Biggest thing about it is just submitting our life and our will to Jesus Christ, to His care and control. Every Friday night, we go through our 8 principles. And if you guys would open up your brochures, you'll see on the second to last page there is our 8 principles. And before we start reading that together, I'd like the rest of our wonderful worship team here to introduce themselves.
My name is Rachel. I am a growing believer in Jesus Christ, and I am in recovery for drug and alcohol abuse for a few years of my life, also dealing with the hurts from broken relationships, and I struggle with finding new character defects every week.
Hi, Rachel.
I'm Tracy. I'm a grateful believer. I struggle with life issues and daily character defects.
Hi, Tracy.
My name is Rachel as well. I'm in recovery for codependency and struggle with many of life's other issues.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. Awesome. So if you guys would, we'll start with number one. Please read with me if you feel comfortable. Number one, realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3. Number two, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. Number three, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Happy are the meek. Matthew 5:5. Number four, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8. Number five, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5:6. Number six, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Happy are the merciful, Matthew 5:7. Happy are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:9. Number seven, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Number eight, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10. Before we start in our next song, I know a lot of you have known me for a while. I came to Celebrate Recovery after going through some pretty huge trials in my life. I had a heart attack in February 2009, almost up on an anniversary of that. But for me, it's something to celebrate. God answered a prayer. It was a tough prayer. I knew I'd been walking with Jesus for a while, but not walking with Jesus, if that makes sense. I was riding the fence. Gave my life to the Lord back in 98. By the grace of God at that point in my life, I gave up a lot of my drug usage, but some of it continued on, and I kept going with that. When I had my heart attack, I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting this at all. I'm not doing right by my family. I'm not doing right by You, my walk with You, and please show me what's important. God answered that prayer. 2 weeks later, I had a heart attack, and after that, we lost everything. But my marriage grew stronger. My relationship with my kids was renewed. It's just been an amazing journey for the last 7 years. It really has. And now God's brought us back to restoration. He is really living out His promises in our life right now and restoring what the locusts have eaten and destroyed. There's a lot of hope that we have in this ministry. We get the front row seat to experiencing changed lives. Get the front row seat to see God working every Friday night. It's absolutely amazing. And to be able to come today and share with you guys this ministry is just an honor. To be able to serve God, I am the last person in the world I would have ever picked. But for some reason, God called me and so many other awesome, wonderful people to serve in this ministry. And he's just doing amazing things. The biggest thing that I've learned is that daily I have to submit my will to God. Daily I have to give him the denial in my life. Daily I have to give him the control. I have to give him the reins. And it's tough because I have been a very prideful man in my life. But as you guys will experience today, there's going to be some sharing of some amazing changed lives today.
Thank you, Lord. Well, as our brothers and sisters are receiving an offering, we're going to have our leader of Celebrate Recovery, Jack Dugweiler, come up here in just a moment. But I want to share a couple words about this ministry. It is a powerful ministry. They meet every Friday night at Grand Rivers Assembly Church in Granby. And what we're doing this morning is what they do every Friday night. This is a Celebrate Recovery service. Every Friday night they begin with worship to the Lord. They have teaching from God's Word. Yeah, well, we begin with eating. Thanks, Mike. Okay. They have a dinner at 6 and then they begin their meetings. But they worship. They have teaching from God's Word. They have testimonies. They break up into men's and women's groups. What I tell people is Celebrate Recovery is a Bible study on steroids. It's not only just learning God's Word, it's this transforming work. And in Romans chapter 12, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And one of the problems we have in our walk with God is that we have these mindsets that warp God's character, that cause doubt, that cause anxiety. We have hurts and wounds and unforgiveness and bitterness. And it's all going on in our minds and hearts, and it hinders us from walking with God. So we need those renewed. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds to know what God's will is. And that's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. It was started in 1991 with a man by the name of John Baker. He was an alcoholic. He went through the AA 12 steps, but he knew there had to be more than just trusting God as you understand him. He said that, this is a quote from him, he says, "I, John Baker, said that one of my major defects of character was a negative self-image, a non-existent self-esteem. To be more exact, I wasted a lot of time in bars attempting to drown it. When I started the 12 steps, I found I had a lot of time on my hands," because he had quit drinking. "In addition to working my program and attending meeting after meeting, I fellowshipped and worked with healthy people. I volunteered, and as the months passed, I got more involved in church. That's when God called me to start Celebrate Recovery." So it's been going on for all these years now. It is a powerful, powerful ministry, and we're going to enjoy some of the testimonies today. Jack Dugweiler is the leader, and Jack has had a few miracles in his life. Tell us more, okay?
Amen.
Jack, come on up, because we want to hear what you have to say.
My name is Jack, and I am a grateful follower of Jesus, and I'm in recovery for alcoholism and other life issues. So we do meet every Friday night at Grand River Assembly across from Granby Elementary School at 6 o'clock, and we're giving you a little sample tonight of what we do on Friday night. We have a potluck together first down in the basement, and then a large group meeting where the team behind me leads worship, and then we do a lesson. And last night we started year number 3, and our lesson is step 1, principle 1, denial. And so we're going to share part of that lesson with you here tonight. But the first thing I wanted to explain was, what is Celebrate Recovery? So Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered, Bible-based 12-step recovery program where we work on our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And what, may you ask, are hurts, habits, and hang-ups? They're a bunch of stuff, right? And this list that is behind me, I hope, is not even complete, right? These are the things where you've gone to somebody at some time in your life and they said, well, maybe you should pray more or join a Bible study. And you know you want to do something with these things. They are in the way of your relationships. They're in the way of your growth with the Lord and your walk. And that's what we work on at Celebrate Recovery, a variety of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And so what we do then is after that large group meeting where you have a lesson, we do open share. And there's female open shares for the ladies, and then guy open shares, and then we close with dessert. And at some point, if you want to go through a step study, that goes into the steps much more in depth in gender-specific groups that meet on a different night. And we have several of those going on throughout the year. During those step studies, we work on our past, our present, and our future so that we get comfortable in our skin and where we're at. We don't ignore the past, but we use it as a tool to get rid of our baggage and move forward. So Celebrate Recovery takes those 12 steps that you have on the back of your program and the 8 principles that you read tonight, thank you, and combines those into 25 lessons. And in between those lessons, we have a testimony night. So last night, we started denial lesson number 1. So next week will be a testimony. And I believe Jason's going to share his. And then the week after that, we'll have lesson number 2 and then a testimony. And as you can tell, that'll take us all the way back to January again in 2018, where we will launch year 4 of Celebrate Recovery and continue that until Jesus comes home. So we've had the pleasure this year to be in 5 different churches in the county and the Christian Life Church up in Walden sharing this same service that we're doing right now. And we look forward to doing more of that. And so you get the special treat of not only a lesson, but some of our testimonies. So we're going to share 2 testimonies from our participants. Gary, come on down and share your word. And then we'll have Brother Chet. Thank you for, again, allowing us to be here. Here you go, Gary.
Thanks, Jack. My name is Gary. I'm in recovery from wounds of my father, character defects, and lots of life issues. I grew up in a small town in southeast Missouri. In a pretty dysfunctional family as the oldest with 3 younger sisters, not a lot of love was shown, very little communication. Dad was physically abusive under the heading of discipline, but more important, verbally abusive. He served in the Army in World War II in India. He stayed in the reserves and got called back up when the Korean War broke out. So in my early years, he was not there. But he was also a coast-to-coast truck driver. Life was good when he was gone, but when he was home, life was hectic on everyone in his path. I just remember his anger, his temper, and nothing positive from him. He did not enjoy his family, his kids, and later his grandkids. They were scared of him, as his kids were. Seemed to me, being the oldest and the only boy, that I caught the brunt of his temper. I tried not to make him mad, tried to stay away from him, tried to please him. Don't ever remember doing fun family things like games, playing catch, or fishing. Gratefully, both grandparents, uncles, aunts, and cousins live close, so family get-togethers every Sunday. These were fun. Dad seemed to enjoy those occasions, but eventually we had to go home. I wish I knew my dad's story. He passed in 1998. I never really knew him, but of course I've forgiven him. School was not fun in the early grades. I seemed to always be in trouble. Trouble at school meant double trouble at home. Soon I could add 2 and 2 together there. Another reason was my stuttering problem. Kids made fun of me, as did Dad. He called me a little sissy. Not a lot of friends in elementary school, just the neighborhood guys. But I was athletic, and so I was accepted. Sports became my outlet for my frustration. Dad thought sports was a waste of time, and he thought school was a waste of time, as it kept me from work on the farm. Life in a small town in southern Missouri kind of revolved around school, farm work, and church. I grew up a Methodist and attended church weekly with mostly my maternal grandparents. For 9 years in a row, I never missed a Sunday. Seemed we were always at church. For Sunday services, weddings, funerals, quilting bees. Dad was not a churchgoer, and of course, Mom didn't go either. I remember the fire and brimstone preaching, that organ music, Sunday school classes in the basement learning Bible stories, and the wrath and fear of God if I did something wrong. First time I remember prayer being answered was the beginning of my 5th grade year. I guess my stuttering had really gotten bad from all the teasing at school and other frustration at home. The teacher told me she had made an appointment with the speech teacher for the next day. Oh, boy. Word got out that I was going to the special ed teacher, And of course, as today, kids who attend those classes really got the bullying and the harassment. So that night, I got on my knees by my bed and asked God for help. I remember praying, God, if you get me through this, I'm yours. I give my life to you. The next day, miraculously, I read a long paragraph for the speech teacher, something out of Shakespeare, just almost perfectly. Shortly afterward, I was baptized in Whitewater Creek near the church, so prayer became a big part of my life. The summer after my 10th grade year, my dad had a stroke at the age of 39. Right side of his body was paralyzed. He spent weeks in the hospital, later the VA hospital, before he was allowed to come home. For the next 25 years of his life, Mom was his caregiver. We had to sell the farm, the animals, and everything to make ends meet. We had to move to a larger town about 20 miles away to be closer to the doctor. We found a house a block from the high school, but this was all pretty traumatic in my world. A new town, a new school, new coaches, and aggressive girls. Sports, again, made me popular as I played football, basketball, and baseball for 2 years, but I got the reputation as a girl hater, as I was so introverted. Had girls coming at me from all directions, and I was years from knowing how to deal with that. I was popular, though, and a good athlete on some good teams, but I hung out with the guys who were nerds and not popular. And then through the rest of my life, I kind of job hopped. I've looked for that perfect situation where I could control work and life. In May 2014, I attended my first Band of Brothers church retreat with 19 others from Winter Park Christian Church. I just really went out of curiosity and the name because of my Army time. Boy, it was a life-changing event, as it was for many on the CR leadership team. So along with starting CR in January 2015, my thinking process and my outlook on life has really been altered. And then I attended my second Band of Brothers in August 2015, and it made more sense the second time. The third time was September 2016 as a volunteer. Three of us prepped, helped cook, and clean for five meals and 157 guys. Well, how did I get to CR, you ask? Probably not without Band of Brothers first and realizing I do have hurts, habits, and hang-ups and wounds from my father. Really, I just wanted to help build the CR program in Grand County, and it seemed like another great way to worship God. Of course, I really had no serious problems like smoking, drinking, or drugs, right? So Judy and I were driving to Denver for Thanksgiving weekend on 2014. She had volunteered to help with the daycare and kids program at CR, so I decided I needed to go through the program before I could be a leader. I asked her what did she think would be the issue that I should focus on. Oh, boy. It was like opening the floodgates at Table Rock Lake Dam in Missouri. For the next 30 minutes, she listed, talked about my hurts, habits, and hang-ups in order of importance. Wow, I had no idea I had so many problems. I thought I had done pretty well in life and marriage. So here is the famous CR Judy list. The wounds from my father, anger just like my father, lust, my introverted isolation personality, my isolation from family and others, reading addiction, my self-centeredness, my controlling nature, people pleaser, perfectionism, inability to show love, anxiety, and my rigidness of life. I think that's all. So I said, I probably need to focus on one issue. She said, I guess you will just have to go through CR for the rest of your life. True story. I'm a work in progress, one step forward, two steps back most of the time. I seem to have so many conflicting thoughts in my second year of CR. New issues come up, but God's working on me. I can tell you that I love attending CR, the teaching from the godly perspective, the worship, the leadership, the large group sessions, the food, the crosstalk cafe, and the desserts, but especially the small group where we as men bear and cleanse our souls. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I just finished a step study in May 2016 with seven other guys. This is the meat of CR. They are my accountability group, my new friends, my confessional team, and we sweated, struggled, and prayed for each other as we answered tough questions about life and God. And now Chad and I are co-leading a step study that started in September. Also, five of us attended the National CR Summit at Saddleback Church in Orange County, California. So Kemosabe, Tonto, Gunny, and Captain Codependent are my forever family and brothers in Christ, forever. What a blessing to share with other men, and it's the first time ever for me, our life issues. What a comfort that others have similar issues in ways, but we're all different. What a blessing to see how God works in our individual lives. This weekly encouragement is indescribable. It's a front row seat watching God in action. We are all unique individuals. Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." So we're at CR for a reason. God has brought us together for a purpose, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Well, obviously, I'm Captain Codependent. Thanks, Gary. I changed up my testimony. I know some of you guys have heard it before. I wanted to talk more about what CR has actually done for me. First of all, my name's Chet. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery for wounds of my father, kind of like Gary, which have caused me to become a poser and a codependent. Jesus has healed me of my posing, and he's in the process of healing me of my codependency. Posing and codependency are coping skills which I've used since childhood to adapt to or manipulate people or situations. My codependency and posing was caused by a childhood that involved me living in 14 states by the time I was in eighth grade and was born out of a non-existent relationship with an alcoholic father who was, when he was there, was emotionally unavailable and was drunk most of the time. And in those times became verbally and physically abusive, which my mother took the brunt of. Prior to joining CR in 2015, I couldn't tell you what posing and codependency was. It certainly didn't have anything to do with me. That, my friends, is what we like to call in CR and what we're talking about tonight. It's denial. I was driven to check out CR by two different things. A friend was going through CR and was sharing some of their struggles that they were going through. And behold, I can kind of relate to what they were talking about. Number two, I was seeing my adult children making bad decisions and reacting to people and situations in an unhealthy way. It was like I was looking in a mirror at myself back in the day. I remember thinking, I didn't raise them that way. What happened? What did I do wrong? It had to be college that distorted their thinking. It was there and then that I came face to face with denial. God pulled the scales off my eyes, showed me that I had taught them this through a lifetime of unhealthy choices and actions as a poser and a codependent. I remember I told my kids when they were young, don't do as I do as I say. And I remember thinking, well, that's just great, God. Now it's my fault. So God said, welcome, Chet, to Principle 1 in CR, which states, realize that I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And step 1 says, we admitted that we are powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives have become unmanageable. That was real hard for a guy like me to admit. Wow, God, what do you want me to do now? Thus the battle with denial begins. And I promise you, Chet the poser, he didn't like any of this or believe it. The battle began in my mind, and it was at this moment that I realized that the poser and the codependent in reality had protected me my whole life through lies and deceptions. Let's move on. Everyone's created with three God-given inner needs. Number one, the need for love. Number two, the need for significance or validation. Number three, the need for security. I will address all three of these and how they pertain to my life as a child. Number one, the need for love. I grew up thinking love was conditional, and it was in my house. So I struggled with the thought of a good God that actually loved me unconditionally. It made no sense. I understood it intellectually. Emotionally, I didn't have a clue. This is where faith comes in. I have to just accept what God's word says and believe it. So that's what I did. Number two, the need for significance or validation. Every little boy needs to be validated by his father. I did not get this from my father. And in his defense, he did not know how to give it. So I grew up hating him and resenting my father. And quite honestly, I'm not sure there's anybody out here that hated their father as much as I did. I found my validation in all the wrong places with all the wrong people. There's always a supply of people out there that's willing to validate you. And I feel I'm a result of what lack of validation looks like in Romans 7:18. We are drawn to do the wrong thing, and I was. Number three, last thing is the lack of security. We moved so much that I was constantly changing schools. And it's brutal. It's a brutal life for a kid. Local kids treat new kids bad. It's just a fact. I always had to make one of two choices when we moved. Number one, I had to be a bully. Number two, I had to be a doormat. Becoming a bully getting in trouble at school, which meant getting in trouble at home. And quite honestly, I would avoid my father's wrath at any cost. This was the beginning of my life as a codependent, people-pleasing, as a means of survival. I became a master at it. When I was in junior high and high school, I come to realize that for a kid that lived his whole life up to that point at the mercy of other kids and people, I could turn that around and turn it around on the kids and use it to my benefit. I could create my own sense of security through the posing and the codependency. That, folks, became a powerful addiction in my life. For a kid that was completely out of control and manipulated by other people his whole life. And I carried this up into my adulthood. Recognizing this in my life was not easy. So God said, welcome, Chet, to principle 4. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And step 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I didn't want nothing to do with this either, but I did it. Lamentations 3:40 says, let's examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. I was like, are you serious, God? My friends are going to find out, my Christian friends are going to find out that I've had a church face on for 21 years. Oh, God, I don't want them to know that. And all I heard, now I've never heard an audible voice from God. If I did, I'm sure I'd go, I'd pass out. But in my spirit, all I heard was, trust me. And God said, welcome, Chet, to Principle 8. Yield myself to God to be used to bring the good news to others by example and by my words. And step 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in our. So what does Principle 8 and Step 12 look like for me? I share in and teach in our large group meetings. I help with the newcomers one-on-one class, which I absolutely love. I also get up and help with the church services by giving a mini money like today. James 5:16 states, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I'm a living example of that. If you're thinking about coming to CR, but maybe you're a little scared, I'm going to get out on a limb here and I'm going to offer my phone number and my email address to you. I believe in this so much. You want to go to Starbucks, you want to come to my house, you want me to come to your house, I'm willing to come and talk to anybody. We can get together outside of CR and talk about it. Now, sooner or later, you got to walk through the door the first time. But I'll help ease that anxiety a little bit for you. And by the way, the guy that hated his father more than anybody else, I'm here to tell you I got love and compassion for the man. And I would have bet any 19 months ago $1,000 that would never happen. I was going to take that to my grave. But it's there, and that's because of CR. Thank you.
Wow. Isn't God awesome? Amen. 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 So we're going to get going with another couple worship songs here between our mini-monies and our denial lesson. But one thing I'd like to remind you all of, we're all a part of God's symphony. And this team that I get to share worship with every Friday night is unbelievable. We don't come up to perform, and I think I can speak for all of our hearts. We're up here just to give God our all. A worship team's duty is just to get everybody going. But I think all of our duty is to just give God our all and make a joyful noise to the Lord. So, you know, I know I spent a lot of years balking and not singing too loud, but I would encourage you guys today, just let it rip. You know, just let it rip. Belt it out. Give God your all. We're all one piece in the symphony, and He's at the center of it. So.
When Pastor Doug told our congregation here about Celebrate Recovery in 2015, I was like, hurts, habits, hang-ups? Where do I sign up? I got so many. I would introduce myself as a grateful, or maybe not so grateful, believer in Jesus Christ, who was struggling with bitterness, resentfulness, and unforgiveness towards myself for the poor choices I had made. I was so mad at myself because of what I put my family through, I was definitely not worthy of his forgiveness. Nope, I wasn't worthy of it. As I was doing my moral inventory, I discovered that I was using alcohol as a coping mechanism. After divorce came the abuse of it. After the kids would go to bed came the escape or reward of it. Every last Friday night of the month, we have what's called Chip Night at Celebrate Recovery. And each color marks a milestone of our recovery. There's the surrender chip, a 30-day, a 60-day, a 90-day, a 6-month, 9-month, 1 year, and multiple years. So in March of 2015, I picked up a surrender chip and decided it was time to start turning to Jesus as my coping mechanism instead of alcohol. Now, after working the 12 steps, I can say I live forgiven. As you see here, I have a few other areas I've had to surrender as well. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." He's just asking us to come as we are.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Being on the front line of this amazing outreach ministry of the church, we are able to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives of sin in Jesus' name, and lead them from darkness, the prisoners, from their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Wow. So I'm going to introduce the denial lesson. We did this Friday, and it is the beginning of our year-long journey in Celebrate Recovery. And so what is denial? Denial has been defined as a false system of beliefs that are not based on reality, a self-protecting behavior that keeps us from honestly facing the truth. And I think you heard that in our testimonies this morning. When we look at step one, we admitted that we had become powerless over our dependencies and that our lives had become unmanageable. Our dependencies separate us from God, and we use our dependencies to fill that void caused by that separation. It might be drugs or alcohol. It might be exercise. It might be overspending. It might be sexual addiction, approval, that people-pleasing. It might be food, tobacco, control, anger, power, shopping, whatever it is that fills that God-given void when we are separated from Him. And so we've got to step out of that denial and admit that, wow, I want to come back to You, Lord. I want to get rid of this dependency and rely on You for everything. And so we want to share with you tonight, this morning, actually, last night was last night. Come on down, team. We want to share with you the effects of denial. Denial, is again that first step, and it is tough. There are 13,000 people that live in Grand County, and I think 12,999 of them have got some form of denial, and it is tough stuff. And so here's what happens when we let that denial fester in our lives.
Hi, my name is Chet. I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with codependency and opposing. The D in denial stands for disables our feelings. Hiding our feelings, living in denial, freezes our emotions and binds us. Understanding and feeling our feelings is where the real freedom is. 2 Peter 2:19 tells us, they promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For we are slaves of anything that has conquered us. The basic test of freedom is not what I'm free to do. It's what I'm free not to do.
I'm Gary. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery from wounds of my father, character defects, and lots of life issues. I have the E. The E in denial stands for energy lost. A major side effect of denial is anxiety. Anxiety causes us to waste precious energy dealing with past hurts and failures and the fear of the future. As you go through Celebrate Recovery, you learn that it is only in the present that positive change can occur. Worrying about the past and dreading the future make us unable to live and enjoy God's plans for us in the present. We let our fears and our worries paralyze us, but the only lasting way we can be free from them is by giving them to God. Psalm 146:7 says, He frees the prisoners. He lifts the burdens from those bent down beneath their loads. If you will transfer the energy required to maintain your denial into learning God's truth, a healthy love for others and yourself will occur. As you depend more and more on Jesus Christ, you will see the light of truth and reality.
Good morning. My name is Mary. I struggle with childhood gender rejection, and the result of that is some food issues, and I find comfort in a big bag of popcorn. N stands for negates growth. We are as sick as our secrets, and again, we cannot grow in recovery until we are ready to step out of our denial and into truth. God is waiting to take your hand and bring you out. Psalms 107:13-14 says, They cried to the Lord in all their troubles, and he rescued them. He led them from their darkness and shadow of death and snapped their chains. As you travel the road of your recovery, you'll come to understand that God never wastes the hurt. God will never waste your darkness, but he can't use it until you step out of your denial and into the light of his truth.
I'm Mike, a growing believer in Jesus, who is in recovery for alcohol, depression, and a lot of other character defects. And the I in denial stands for isolates us from God. Adam and Eve are a great example of how secrets and denial separate us from true fellowship with God. After they sinned, their secret separated them from God. Genesis 3:7 tells us that Adam and Eve hid from God because they felt naked and ashamed. Of course, good old Adam tried to rationalize. He said to God, The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree. First he tried blaming God, saying, The woman you put here with me. Then he tried blaming Eve. She gave me some of the fruit. Remember, God's light shines on the truth. Our denial keeps us in the dark. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1:5-7.
I'm Sharon, a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm in recovery for extreme childhood abuse and incest, as well as daily struggles from my traumatic brain injury. Our denial not only isolates us from God, it alienates us from our relationships. Denial tells us we are getting away with it. We think no one knows, but they do. But while denial may shield us from the hurt, it also keeps us from helping ourselves or the people we love the most. We don't dare reveal our true selves to others for fear of what they will think or say if they knew the real us. We must protect ourselves, our secrets, at any cost. So we isolate ourselves and thereby minimize the risk of exposure and possible rejection from others. But at what price? The eventual loss of all our important relationships. What's the answer? Listen to Ephesians 4:25. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are a part of each other, and when we lie to each other, we're hurting ourselves. Remember, it's always better to tell the ugly truth rather than a beautiful lie.
Hi, I'm Keith Beichman. Hi. Growing up as an abused child led to nearly 3 decades of drug and alcohol abuse. Finally, denial lengthens the pain. We have the false belief that denial protects us from our pain. In reality, denial allows us our pain to fester and grow and to turn into shame and guilt. Denial extends the hurt. It multiplies your problems. Truth, like surgery, may hurt for a while, but it cures you. God promises us in Jeremiah 30:17, I will give you back your health again, and I will heal your wounds.
So as we can see, denial actually isn't a river in Egypt. But it's actually that pink elephant in the middle of the room that none of us want to acknowledge is there. Johnny said that the other night in the lesson. It really struck a good chord in me, going, you know, that pink elephant's been around stomping on me quite a bit in my life. You know, when we step out of that denial, when we give that denial to God, in that split second, that's when God turns around and makes us flawless in his eyes. So if you guys would, please stand and join me in flawless.
I'll fight back the tears here. Whew. Is that powerful or what? You know, this is raw testimonies. This is healing that Jesus brings. And how many people are posers? When Chet was talking about posing, you know what that is? Pretending. Pretending I'm somebody that I'm not. Pretending I'm spiritual. Pretending I'm happy. Pretending that I read my Bible every day. Just posing. And we can't be free. We're all bound up by those things. Praise God for the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Well, let's sing one more song in closing, shall we?
You bet.
I know we're going to sing, too.
Yeah, we're going to sing. Let it rip.
Let it rip. Okay.
So we're going to do All the People Said Amen, and then our sister Rachel here is going to lead us through the Serenity Prayer and dismiss us. Thanks again, guys, for having us today. It was an awesome pleasure.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
You are dismissed.